This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury, and you are tuned in to Tech Talk here on Enterprise. We're going to talk a little bit today about something a little different. We're going to be talking about some of our senses, our sights, our smells and sounds, and how those senses can be used for or against us. But we're going to be talking about how it's used in sales particularly, or experiences. And this is something that I have a little bit of experience with. A few years ago, I used to work for a company that would provide background music to bars, restaurants, clubs, hotels, and we would provide video content at point of sale. And around the world, there are a few companies doing this, but not many. And one of those companies might have been a competitor back in the day. And I'm going to be speaking to one of these people from that company. Her name is Farin Khan. She is the Revenue Partnership Manager from UC Global. Farin, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me today, Richard.
Absolute pleasure for joining us here on the show today. Now, Farin, how did you get involved in this first and foremost? Talk to me a little bit about that.
I think it was basically pure luck. I do come from a background in the property industry, and the property industry is very, very relevant to what I'm currently doing in sensory marketing, because a lot of property, commercial property specifically, need sensory marketing. But I basically just stumbled upon UC by chance, and here I am today. Here I am now.
When we talk about sensory marketing, you know, us being kind of insiders, know what it is. But for people who might not know what it is, can you just explain it in layman's terms?
Okay, so sensory marketing is basically marketing that brands do through senses, the human senses. So we're talking about sound, we're talking about scent, and we're talking about sight, not forgetting touch as well. So when I say sound, for example, we're talking about the types of background music that you would find in different types of premises, like food and beverage premises or retail premises, or even when you step into a spa and you hear that wonderful music. That's one particular type of sensory marketing.
I'll give another one as well. I mean, we were tasked back in the day to create a playlist for a very well-known, recognizable fast food chain. As a way of encouraging customers to get in and get out very quickly. So what they asked us to do was to create a playlist. We created a playlist that lasted 30 minutes, which averaged to how long that customer would linger into that particular venue. So effectively, once you start hearing that song a second time, your brain automatically tells you, oh, I've heard this before, perhaps I should leave.
Absolutely.
And therefore, it clears that table for the next set of customers.
Absolutely. That's a lot like what we do, except we add a couple more elements to it to, you know, sort of funk it up a little bit in any kind of premise that we're servicing.
So how long have UC been around, and how did they start?
So a little background about UC. UC was not always known as UC. UC used to be known as Express Melody, and it was a company incorporated in Singapore. So Express Melody had always provided background music to, you know, different types of brands, over 3,000 brands at that point of time within the region. But a couple of years after that, we have what is our parent company known as Yusen Next Japan. And Yusen Next is a public listed company on the Tokyo Stock Exchange. So what Yusen Next essentially did was acquired Express Melody and converted its name to UC Global. And it is now, and it was basically used as a vehicle into penetrating the Southeast Asian market. And, you know, apart from just background music, what Yusen Next did was also add scenting as well as digital signage into the whole UC ecosystem. So now we have a complete sensory marketing arm.
If you're looking at all of these sensory elements with sound, sight, you know, being able to touch things and smell things, these are all things that are wonderful when we can go out and do things, right? How has that changed, obviously, now that we're in the middle of a pandemic and people can't do the majority of these things? How has business been affected?
Right. So, you know, experiential retail, as we like to call it, has already been happening before the pandemic. And we do believe that it will accelerate after the pandemic. But the pandemic has seen both negative growth, mostly negative growth, but also a lot of positive growth in certain sectors. So one of the things that we did in order to sort of pivot along with the pandemic is basically providing things like voiceovers in clients that were doing fairly well. So we saw, while we saw a lot of like fashion brands, you know, sort of take a break and take a step back, we saw places like supermarkets and grocery stores really have to step up because they are considered essential services. So one of the things that we essentially did was help grocery stores remind customers that SOPs need to be adhered to, or their hands need to be, you know, sanitized every couple of minutes. And we did this through voiceovers in the background music system, constantly reminding clients that, you know, keep your 1 meter distance, you know, wear your mask, don't take the mask down, don't touch your face, don't touch items on the rack, that sort of thing. So that's one of the things we did. And in terms of scenting, we immediately got all our scents equipped with disinfection technology. So places that, you know, for example, banks are still considered essential services. And a lot of banks that are our clients do use scent. So in order to create more safer environments, one of the things that we did was actually equip our scent with disinfection to ensure, you know, up to about 92% of ambient disinfection within a premise. And, you know, last but not least, one of the things that we also did in places such as grocery stores is, you know, where you have touch screens, and touch screens are now considered complete taboo in this particular pandemic, you know.
Yes. And what I think I'd argue they were beforehand, but, you know.
Now people are a lot more aware about the fact that, you know, that there's a ton of germs on these things. So instead of you know, having people touch these screens, we actually made them QR enabled. So all people had to do was to take up their phones, you know, open the camera, scan the QR code, and you could navigate the screen from your phone.
Right. So giving people that extra layer of personal security, personal safety, you know, making them feel a lot better about themselves.
Exactly.
All right. Interesting stuff. And has it been a difficult kind of pivot, or did it feel fairly natural as a company to be doing these things?
Well, I think when, you know, when the pandemic first hit, it was very, very daunting. But I have to say that UC is an absolutely dynamic team. All three countries, Malaysia, Singapore, Vietnam, we're absolutely dynamic. And we just came up with ideas, we brainstormed, and we just put everything into action. And I have to say, it's been a wonderful transition, you know, ever since probably May, June last year. It's been great.
I was looking through some of the stuff that you sent me through yesterday, and a lot of the details on there, for a company that's been around a while, it seems like quite a young and dynamic company. Would that be fair to say that the teams are fairly young?
Oh, absolutely. The teams are extremely young. The company is pretty young as well, considering the acquisition by UCentNext. So yes, it is a fair statement. It's a very young team, especially the team in Singapore. I think we've got an extremely, extremely dynamic team of youth over at the Singapore office, for sure.
Okay. Now, I just want to quickly look at some of the clients that you kind of touch upon right now. You briefly mentioned that you've been working with some supermarkets and reminding customers to, you know, adhere to SOPs. Can you give me a couple of the other customers that you deal with, or rather the other clients that you deal with, the hotels and retail and whatnot, so people might have an idea where they might be kind of interacting with your product?
Right. So I will not name drop due to privacy purposes, but I can tell you that we are present in all major Japanese retail chains. So I'm talking about the biggest Japanese apparel brands, the biggest Japanese departmental stores, as well as some of the biggest departmental stores in Malaysia itself, some of which I think happen to be Japanese. And apart from that, we are also currently supplying services to major banks within the Malaysian and Singaporean region, as well as leading fast food chains within the Malaysian and Singaporean region.
Okay, on that note, let's take a short break. You are tuned into Tech Talk here on Enterprise with me, Rich Bradbury. On the phone line with me right now, I have Fareen Khan. She is the Revenue Partnership Manager for UC Global. We'll be right back after these messages on BFM 89.9.
bold, fearless Malaysians. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm on the phone line with Fareen Khan. She is the Revenue Partnership Manager for UC Global. They deal with background music and sensory marketing. If you don't know what that is, you can download the podcast a little bit later on and have a listen back. Essentially, it deals with your senses and how those sensors interact with things like advertising and brand promotion, kind of really started back in the 70s, I believe, in a few places around the world. It's now present in most countries around the world. In fact, if you enter into any retail outlet, the chances are that a company like UC Global will have been providing the background music there. Am I right, Fareen?
Absolutely, that is correct, Richard.
Are you guys also involved in developing things like jingles as well?
Yes, we do. We do develop jingles as well as sonic logos. So these are okay. Things that we also do apart from inserting voiceovers into our background music.
Right. And for people who might not be familiar with what a sonic logo is, let's just give a quick example for you.
So, you know, you get. I think everyone who's listening to this, or almost everyone who listens to this, probably
Make the sound. Make the sound, Fareen. Make the sound.
The Netflix sound?
Yes.
I'm not very good at it, but when you start a Netflix show, you immediately hear a ding, and that's what you call a sonic logo. So it's a very quick, you know, it's a very quick piece of sound or piece of audio that relates our memory to a certain brand.
Now, why is it that people remember these sonic logos so easily? What is it about them that makes them so kind of, easy to remember, easy to relate to? What do you think that is?
Well, I think first and for all, it's a very unique note that's probably used. But at the same time, it's also really short, really sweet, and it's also used really repetitively. So, you know, every time I turn on Netflix, it's the first thing I hear before my show starts. And because it's so repetitive, people are bound to register and connect or, you know, basically form some sort of brand recall to the brand by just hearing a sonic logo.
So there's a lot of psychology involved in it, right?
It's mind control.
Now, We just briefly touched on the fact that, you guys deal with supermarkets and brands worldwide, and you have a few clients over in Europe. Do you find that there are differences to the wants and needs of European clients compared to Asian clients, and what are they?
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, I think when you take a look at Asia, it's a really diverse sort of melting pot. And We do specialize in Asian consumer psychology, but the difference is you'd find in countries such as Malaysia, we have a lot more festivities all year round. You know, there's Hari Raya and there's Deepavali and there's Chinese New Year and then there's Christmas. There's even Gawai, and background music within different premises have to adapt to these festivities. So during Ramadan, you would hear all the Hari Raya songs come out. Right now, if you walked into a mall, you know, providing there was no MCO, you'd be hearing Chinese New Year songs. So it's very festivity-oriented or culture-oriented. That's the first thing I would say in terms of difference with the European market. And the other thing that, you know, I would like to note, because this is something that we do in UC, is also the presence of certain types of licensed content that we're able to actually incorporate into our background music system. So if we're in Asia, we're going to see a lot of Japanese IPs that would be in demand for our clients. So, you know, a really good example of a Japanese IP is Doraemon. Right?
Yeah.
And Doraemon
is
big in Malaysia and Indonesia and Singapore as well as Japan, obviously. As well as in India, you know, Doraemon's big in these countries. And running campaigns based on a character like Doraemon is something that's successful and it's really fruitful because people here really like the character and they can relate to it. But when we take a look at Europe, You know, something like Doraemon or any type of Japanese IP may not necessarily do as well as it would do in the Asian region. In Europe, we're probably going to have to be looking at something that's a lot more, you know, in line with consumer taste over there.
I can absolutely relate to that. I mean, years ago, I was tasked on creating playlists, you know, as I've told you before, for hotels around the world. And these hotels have to be branded. First and foremost, they have to have like a sound, so they all sound the same worldwide. But they also have to be slightly regional in terms of, like, if you're in the spa, or if you're in the foyer, for example, they would prefer to have a little bit of music that kind of relates to that area that you're in. So if you're in Dubai, you're going to hear music from Dubai to a degree. Mm-hmm. If you're in Singapore, you might hear something from Singapore. But if you're sat in an office in the UK and you've never been to any of these places, you know, how can you identify what's going to register with your clients over there? Mm-hmm. So that's a difficult process, right? How do you get around that issue? You know, how do you help regionalize, or do you have people who go out and assess these clients and listen to and see who could potentially be their listening audience, quote unquote?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we really do sit down with our clients and assess their wants and needs before we actually go about suggesting anything. And something that we've learned in this line is that clients know what they want. And most of the time, what they want has nothing to do with, you know, the choice of music. It's more like, I'm coming to you because I want to, say, increase sales. That's usually the idea that's on the back of their minds. So it's only when they sit down and they start sampling things that we give to them, and that's when they suddenly realize what they actually need. You know, like, oh, yeah, I'm based here, and therefore I need this kind of music. So first, it's about sitting down with the client and really assessing exactly what they want and what they need. Once we have a good idea and we know exactly what is needed, then it all boils down to ensuring that the content teams that we have on board UC are able to accommodate these particular requests. So we have, you know, over 300,000 tracks and counting in our library. We're able to have access to all sorts of indie artists, and therefore we're always able to go out and find the perfect match for our clients.
Have you had clients who think they know what they want, and you've had to sit down with them after having done research and explain to them that what they think they want is actually not what is good for them?
Absolutely. I actually love that you asked this question, because what happened, this is not too long ago. You know, I actually walked into a particular client's premises, and you know, I got the idea of the whole space, and we immediately knew what the client was supposed to have in terms of scent. Right? The client was just supposed to have a certain particular type of scent, which we knew would create a certain type of impact on customers. But when we sat down with the client, you know, she was very adamant about the fact that she wanted this particular scent, and it was a scent that was not even meant for the industry, much less being able to evoke feelings with a particular type of feeling within the client, right? So but sometimes you have to go along with a client, because people don't really see where they're wrong until we actually show them that, you know, this is not a great idea. So we're like, okay, fine, let's just run a trial of this particular scent in your premise, and we'll see what people have to say about it. So have your staff come in, or have your, you know, customers come in and see what they say. And sure enough, when staff came in, they were like, look, it's a nice scent, but it's highly intimidating for this industry that we're in. We need something softer, you know? Right. And softer was what we intended to do in the first place. So sometimes we need to actually run trial and errors with our clients to show them that, look, what we're advising is exactly what is meant for your business goals.
Okay. I've got a couple more questions before we wrap up. No. Give me some of the most, some of the more interesting requests that clients have come to you with.
So off the top of my head, we've had a client who's requested for a particular Chinese New Year playlist, but, you know, when sitting down to actually understand what they'd like from the playlist, it ended up with, I don't want people singing and I don't want drums and I don't want any high-pitched song instruments. And we were just like, but this is Chinese New Year. I'm going to have some of this. So very often I have very strange requests like, oh, we don't want to hear children crying in our music. It's like,
wow. That's a
never heard this one before.
Pretty specific.
Yeah, so I've had one or two, you know, interesting requests, but everyone else is pretty sure of what they need and what they want.
Okay, final question then, and this kind of relates to what we were just talking about with it being Chinese New Year, and back to what you were saying earlier on about how there are so many celebrations here in Malaysia.
Yeah.
These playlists that are curated. Obviously, they have to change when a new kind of holiday comes around, whether it's Christmas, Chinese New Year, or Hari Raya. How do you update the playlist? Is it done automatically, or do people have to physically change the playlists?
Oh, no, absolutely not. So basically, once we install our devices in a client's premise, and as long as they have Wi-Fi that is working, everything is controlled via the cloud. So everything is controlled by our operations team. And as soon as there's a request that comes into the content team saying, hey, we need a change of playlist for, you know, this particular festive season, once the client has okayed the playlist, it is immediately inserted via the cloud into all their devices, all their stores. And with a click of a button, the playlist is changed. So it's all done remotely.
Fareen Khan, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you very much, Richard.
That was Fareen Khan from UC Global. They are a company that deal with sensory marketing, background music, psychological marketing, I guess, right, Fareen?
Absolutely. Psychological marketing, psych tech.
Okay. And how can people find out more about the company that you work for?
So I think one of the best ways to reach out to us would be via our LinkedIn page. So our LinkedIn page is UC Global. That's USEA space global. And other than that, they could just look up our website, which is uc.global.
Wonderful. You have been listening to Tech Talk here on Enterprise on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.